Justification, the means of grace, the theology of the cross, Christology, vocation, living in two kingdoms, and worship. Dr. Gene Edward Veith covers each of these teachings in the new third edition of his book, The Spirituality of the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Spirituality of the Cross, third edition. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
This is one of the few kings in the Old Testament who is compared directly with King David. David's kind of the gold standard, although David was not a perfect man by any stretch of the imagination. He is remembered as a man after God's own heart and God's choice for king of Israel. Well, Hezekiah gets compared to David. What does that mean? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday, May the 4th, we're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on King Hezekiah in 2 Kings 18 and 19. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
So how is King Hezekiah described there in the Old Testament?
He is described, as you were indicating already, as one of the faithful kings that trusted in the Lord God. There was, of course, the northern tribes of Israel that were taken into captivity by the Assyrians and during the time of Hezekiah, but he was of the tribes of Judah, and they were in the south, Jerusalem, etc. And Hezekiah is just one of a few kings that were really faithful to the Lord. Many of the other kings set up all kinds of idols, and in order to keep peace between the other countries, they worshiped their idols and had the people follow them. And so Hezekiah was one of those kings. It's interesting in 2 Kings that they always begin with the name of the king and who his mother was, how old he was when the king began ruling. And then there's always this one statement that's made, and with most of the other kings, it is, and this king was not faithful to the Lord. He did evil things, but not with Hezekiah and not with a few other kings. Like later on, Josiah becomes a king, and he's also one in which the Lord says in chapter 22, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. And he was the one who helped repair the temple, etc. But Hezekiah is really known as the wonderful king because he did a lot of things there in destroying the idolatry that was rampant when he became king.
So what happened to Hoshea, who is the king of the northern kingdom, early in the reign of Hezekiah?
Yes. In fact, it was during the fourth year of Hezekiah's reign, and that was the seventh year that Hoshea was king of Israel. What happened, the king of Assyria at that time, Shalmaneser, he came up against Samaria and besieged it. And it took 3 years, and he took it, which means that was conquered in the sixth year of Hezekiah and the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel. Samaria was taken. And the king of Israel carried the Israelites away to Assyria, and he put them in various areas. And God allowed that because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant, even all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded, for they neither listened nor obeyed. And that's a kind of a good example of the wrath of God, even though God came to them many times with prophets, etc., they refused to listen to him and followed instead their own desires, which many people in the United States are doing these days. And because of that, well, they ended up in captivity. In fact, we really don't know what happened to those lost tribes of Israel. There are various conjectures where they ended up being, but the fact is they ended up intermarrying with Gentiles, etc. And so this is part of the reason why so many of the Jews hated these individuals, because they had broken the laws of God so often.
Tell us about the attack of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and how Hezekiah responded at first.
Well, Sennacherib then became king of Assyria, and he had made a vow that he was going to destroy Jerusalem, etc. And at first, Hezekiah sent to him saying, withdraw from me, I have done wrong, whatever you impose on me, I will bear. And what the king of Assyria required of Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver, 30 talents of gold, and Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house. And he even stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the doorposts that Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave them to the king of Assyria. And therefore, the king of Assyria sent his great army to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. They came up and they surrounded Hezekiah, and they called for the king. There came out to him members of Hezekiah's folks, and they were told by this representative from Assyria, thus the great king, the king of Assyria, why do you rest this trust of yours? And the people were putting their trust in Hezekiah. They said, we trust in the Lord our God. Is it not he whose high places and altars Hezekiah has removed? You shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem, said God. Come, now make a wager with my master, the king of Assyria. And he promised many gifts if the people would simply leave Hezekiah. And it was very interesting. This is not part of the lesson for the kids, but the king of Assyria said, through this individual, do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He will not be able to deliver you out of the hand of Assyria. Do not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord by saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. And so the king of Assyria says, you make your peace with me and leave him. And guess what? I'll give you wonderful lives. You will eat of your own vine, in each one of his own fig tree, and you will drink water of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey, that you may listen and not die. Therefore, do not listen to Hezekiah, because he is misleading you by saying, the Lord will deliver us. And what the Assyrian king was saying to the people, he used the history of what he had done. He says, has any of the gods of the nations ever delivered their lands out of the hand of the king of Assyria? And then he mentioned the gods of Hamath and Arpad and Sepharvaim, Hena and Eba. Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who among all the gods of the land have delivered their lands out of my hand? And you're thinking that the Lord is going to deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Now, the people were silent against Assyria, because the king had commanded them, do not answer him. And so that's where we end up with Isaiah tearing their clothes and hearing the words from the king of Assyria.
How did Sennacherib's commander not only attempt to shake the people's faith in Hezekiah, but attempt to shake Hezekiah's own faith in the Lord?
He reminded Hezekiah again and again that these other kings had used their gods and tried to get Assyria defeated, and it was of no use. And so by showing the recent history against these nations, who were very strong, many of them, but they fell under the Assyrian weight of the army, etc., and therefore Sennacherib really defies the Lord. And in that way, he sends messengers to Hezekiah saying, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah. Do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you by promising that Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. You heard what the king of Assyria has done to all the other lands, and you think you will be delivered? No, no way. Hezekiah then received this message from the hand of the Assyrian messengers, and what did he do? He went up to the house of the Lord, that's the temple, spread these messages before the Lord, and he prayed before the Lord. And this is a big part of the Sunday school lesson to help the students understand the importance of praying to God when you're in real problems. And this prayer that he says is really helpful for the Sunday school kids to understand.
We'll talk about that prayer on the other side of the break. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest host of the radio show Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on King Hezekiah in 2 Kings 18 and 19. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter, and we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership benefits like shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program on the donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Looking for a faithful Lutheran church in East Central Oklahoma? Welcome to Trinity Okmulgee, a friendly and faithful LCMS congregation only 40 miles south of Tulsa. Hi, this is Pastor Chris Teebs. Check us out at trinityokmulgee.org. That's Trinity, O-K-M-U-L-G-E-E, all one word, .org. See you soon at Trinity Okmulgee, Oklahoma.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
The teaching that we are justified by faith in the atoning work of Christ on the cross is considered the chief article, the underpinning of every aspect of Lutheran theology and indeed of the Christian faith. That's from the introduction to the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, The Spirituality of the Cross, 3rd edition by Dr. Gene Edward Veith. Covers topics like justification, the means of grace, the theology of the cross, Christology, vocation, living in two kingdoms, and worship. You can find out more about the spirituality of the cross at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross, 3rd edition, by Dr. Gene Edward Veith. We're discussing King Hezekiah teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. So Tom, before we get to Hezekiah's prayer, why did Sennacherib's commander think that he could mock God?
He believed he could mock God because all the other gods from all the other nations had no impact on stopping him from defeating them. And he didn't recognize that the God of Hezekiah, who is also the God of Isaiah, by the way, Isaiah gets involved here, that it was any different than any other God. And therefore, he thought he could easily make fun of God and defy the Lord. And he was doing it by saying, look what I've done to all the other gods. None of them were able to stop me. So why do you think your God is going to be able to stop me? Because he had so many more soldiers and was surrounding the city of Jerusalem.
So you mentioned earlier that Hezekiah took this letter and he went to the temple and he laid it out before the Lord. What does he pray?
He first of all prays, recognizing that God alone is the one who holds all the kingdoms of the earth. He's the one who has made heaven and earth. And so he prays that God would incline his ear and hear Hezekiah, and that therefore the words of Sennacherib would be heard, which he has sent to mock the living God. So, truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. Then Hezekiah says something that I think is helpful. But they were not gods, but they were the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they were destroyed. So Hezekiah gives a wonderful, wonderful witness that these gods are nothing. They're only made up by men, and they were destroyed by God himself. And so he now asks the Lord God to save us, and therefore please that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. And that's how we should teach our children to pray. The Lord's Prayer is a wonderful example where we're already praying for things that we are receiving, namely the forgiveness of sins and anything against the devil and daily bread and God's will being done in our lives. So this is important that the children come to understand that prayer is simply conversation with God, telling him how you are feeling at the time, why you are afraid, why you're worried about the future, but then giving God all the credit for making sure that the future will be taken care of.
How does the Lord then respond to Hezekiah's prayer through the prophet Isaiah?
Now, in this particular situation, the Lord really responds by going against the Assyrians in the evening. In fact, the Bible says not one arrow ended up going towards Jerusalem by the Assyrians. And what happened was that the Lord came, and this is said to be the angel of the Lord who came, and that usually refers to Jesus Christ, and killed 185,000 of the soldiers of the enemy, and then even took Sennacherib and had him return home, and he was put to death by his own sons. Therefore, all of his mocking of the Lord was shown to be quite ridiculous. Now, the Sunday school literature does a really good job in talking about prayer, etc. I'm talking about the enduring faith. They've got one text here that I want to read. It's from 1 John 5:14 and 15, as to why when you pray to God, your prayer is not only heard, but it's always answered as you want it to be answered. It's 1 John 5. This is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. I was corrected by one of the listeners to my radio program when I said that God, when we pray to him, either answers yes, no, or wait. And a woman phoned me up and said, I disagree with you, Pastor Baker. God always answers yes. And so I asked her what she meant by that. And it's what I've used ever since then, is that as this text says, if we pray anything according to his will, he hears us, which means he answers us according to his will. There's two ways in which we pray. If we're praying for a promise that God has given us, we just pray for it, and it will happen because he's promised it. So when we baptize a baby, we don't say, and may this baby receive faith if it be your will, because he's promised he will receive faith and the forgiveness of sins. The Pentecost sermon by Peter. But then if we're asking something from him that is not a promise, then we are to think about if it be your will. So that's why this lady was telling me, and I agree with her, that every prayer we do, we either say a promise that God has given to us and we know it will come true. And if it's not a promise, then we say, if it be according to your will, and he answers according to his will. So in this case, it was the will of God to defeat the enemies of Hezekiah. And though none of the Sunday school lesson talks about it, Hezekiah was later told by Isaiah that he wasn't going to live much longer. And he prayed to the Lord, weeping that he would do more in order to clean up the idolatry that had occurred. And the Lord gave him 15 more years of life because of the prayers he had and the wonderful faith he had in the true Lord. So this is a great example in the Bible of how our prayers are not only heard by God, but as we pray for a promise or that his will be done, they are always answered according to our desire.
With about 30 seconds here, what is the long gospel of this lesson?
The law is pretty clear because we take a look at Sennacherib, who thought, boy, I can do anything I want. I'm self-sufficient. I don't need God. And the gods of other people aren't going to stop me. That's the law accusing each of us when we sin of saying the same things that he said. The gospel, though, is even though we sin in this way, our Heavenly Father is always ready to hear our cries for help. And what better help has he given us than Jesus Christ for our salvation? So whatever prayer that the children are asking God about, it always culminates in Jesus Christ becoming our Savior by his death and his resurrection. So we always look to the cross and resurrection for proper comfort.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. You'll find out more about Law and Gospel at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Up next, the church observes the person and work of Frederick the Wise on May 5th. We'll get a biography of Martin Luther's prince and protector from the late Pastor Paul McCain. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Give your mom the gift of a clean home for Mother's Day with a gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. In St. Louis, call 314-416-8117. In the St. Louis Metro East, call 618-213-8296 and be sure to mention Issues, etc. Give the gift of time for your mom with a Mother's Day gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. 314-416-8117 or 618-213-8296.